Well, good morning. Good to see you again today. Thank you for being with us. Thank the Lord for his blessings through another week. Give us an opportunity to come and gather together again in the house of the Lord. I ask you to bow with us in a word of prayer, and then we'll continue to look at our study together today. Lord, again, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your marvelous grace, your mercy, and your love, your comfort. We ask you today now, Lord, as we open your precious word, that you'd help us to understand it. Lord, that it might find lodging in our heart, that we might use it as you blessed us to live our lives daily in service for you. And may we be equipped and ready to tell others about you, about our precious Lord and Savior, and how important it is that we know you in saving grace. Lord, we'd ask that you'd bless this time together now. Keep us humble that you might be exalted. And Lord, bless the study together this day. And we do thank you for all the blessings of life, but most of all, the fact that you loved us and saved us by your marvelous grace. In our precious name we do pray. Amen. Again, it's good to see you this morning. I'd ask you if you'd bear with me for just a moment. Last Sunday and today are going to be hard. Sickness and losing your loved one will try your faith probably more than anything that we experience as we walk through life. And reflecting on some things this past week, and something came to my mind that I never thought about really before in that perspective. So if you allow me for just a moment, I want to read just a few verses to you and talk about them for just a moment. Over in the book of Hebrews, I want to go with you, if you will, go with me to Hebrews, and we'll go to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, we'll get back to the church, how we ought to behave ourselves in just a moment. But if you'll allow me, I think that maybe these verses might help you somewhere down the line, and might even help you today, for that matter. But in Hebrews 13th chapter, and if we begin to look at verse number 5, is let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. I have a hard time with that statement there, be content. And right now it's hard for me to be content, I'll be honest with you. He said, as ye have, he said, be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave you, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Never leave us and never forsake us. He's a present help in time of need. Now, if you back up with me to Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and read a couple of verses here also. In verse number 14, he says, see then that we have a great high priest that has passed into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That we might find grace and help in the time of need. Aren't we glad that we have a God and a Christ that knows what we go through daily as we walk the road of life? Now, with that said, I thought about something that I never thought about before. So, I want you to think on this a little bit while we look at this together. If you look in the book of Ephesians, and I want you to look at chapter number 1, and I'll try to set the point that I'm trying to get to in just a moment. In Ephesians chapter 1, and we look at verse number 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom also, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Now I want you to look at the word of truth. I want you to think on truth. And that will go right on into our lesson today as we study it together. The word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were what? Ye were sealed, and ye were sealed with what? The Holy Ghost of promise. Or the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnestness of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Each and every one of us who have been saved by his marvelous grace, we are a purchased possession. We belong to him. We are his. Now, as we as we studied last Sunday together, and we were talking about the church and us as individuals, let's go back over to John chapter number 14 again. And I'm going somewhere with this, believe it or not. And we read this last Sunday, but I want you to keep in mind what we've just said concerning the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are purchased possession. But remember last Sunday, as we read the 14th chapter and 16th verse, he said to the Father, he shall give you another comforter that you may abide, that he may abide with you forever. And I want you to notice that phrase. How long is he going to abide with you? And he's going to be what? He's going to be our comforter, and he's going to provide with us. He's going to be with us forever. Even the Spirit of truth, and there's that word truth again, so keep that thought in mind, whom the world cannot receive. So the world don't receive it. Those that are led by the precious Holy Spirit, saved by the marvelous of the grace of God, they're the ones who receive it. Because they cannot receive it, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be where? In you. Now, he's making this statement to the disciples. He says, I'm going to depart. I am your comforter when I'm here. I'm going to depart, but when I depart, I'm going to send another comforter. Now, who is that comforter he's going to send? And he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I what? And I in you. And I in you. Now let's go back to where we started the lesson. And I want you to think on this, and never thought about it before in this perspective. We've just found out that Christ says that we come to know him in saving grace. That who takes up residence in us? The Holy Spirit comes in and takes up residence in our heart. Now it says we're sealed with that precious Holy Spirit. Well, think on these things now. He says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm always a what? A present help. He's embedded in our heart as the Holy Spirit. That's an eternal spirit that dwells within you and I. And it will never leave the soul of man. So he's ever present with us, regardless of the situation, regardless of where we're at. So he is present, so he can't forsake us, because we've been sealed by that precious Holy Spirit. That precious Holy Spirit abides in us. That precious Holy Spirit is never going to leave, so we're never forsaken. And he's always a present help. The Holy Spirit does the work of God, and the Holy Spirit's present in our heart every single solitary minute of every single solitary day, and it don't make any difference what position we find ourselves in as a child of his. He's always there to lift us up and comfort us and carry us on through life's journey. And he'll take us on through life's journey, even through death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I don't know whether you've ever thought about it or not. You can walk through the shadow of this building, but you can't walk through this building. So death's just a shadow that we're just going to walk right on through. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit of God that's with us is escorting our soul to the presence of God the Father. Yes, so what do we have to fear? And what do we have to worry? We just trust in him as we travel through the day. Now, as we looked at this, we saw the word trust several times mentioned. So let's go back to what we've been talking about, how to behave myself. So let's look at this again together today, if you'll allow me. We'll read this memory verse to you again, and then we'll look at a few things. In 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter, 15 verse. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how that I oughtest to behave myself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. There's that word truth again. The church of God, which is the pillar and the ground of truth. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But we were talking about the birth of the church in the book of Acts, in chapter number 2, but I want to read another We talked about Peter as he stood up in his boldness and preached the gospel to the Jews. In the second chapter, in verse number 37, and I'll be honest with you, it's been hard to study this week. Seems like the devil just work on you in every way. I've had a hard time getting the lesson together, but nevertheless, the Lord knows all about that, so it's all him and none of us anyway. He said, now when they had heard these things, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We're in the second chapter, in 37th verse. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That you may receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when we say receive that, we receive that gift of the Holy Ghost, like we've just discussed, that won't ever leave us and never forsake us. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. And we were far off. We were not Jews. We were Gentiles. We were far off and separated. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. As many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this upward generation, unto a generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Receive, believe, and they were baptized and added to the church. We should have noticed the next few verses. And they continued steadfast in the apostles and doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. They continued how? Steadfast. Steadfast. That's the way we need to do. Steadfast. Firm. Strong. Don't waver. Walk the straight and narrow path. Steadfast in the word. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. All that believed were together. And had all things what? Common. I am the way. I am the truth, I am the life. No man come to the Father but by me. It's one way and one way only. They had all this in common, all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And here's the generosity to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We see a brother and sister in Christ and we meet their needs and we help them. I've never seen a church and my brothers and sisters in Christ, community, friends and neighbors, more kind and more courteous and more thoughtful than they've been during this time. Amen. So thankful. So thankful for your church. So thankful for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so thankful how the Lord uses them to help you in times such as this. And I want you to know that I, myself, and my family from the bottom of my heart do thank you for your generosity and your thoughtfulness and your sympathy. Verse number 46, and it said they continued daily with what? There's your key. they continued daily in one accord. Work together, worship together, live together, and serve Him together in one accord. They said they did it in one accord in the temple. See, one accord in the temple, one accord in the church. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple, of breaking the bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord, I want you to notice this phrase, who does the adding to the church? It says, and the Lord added unto the church, and He added them daily. But what's the key in those that were added to the church? Such as should be saved. Such as should be saved. Salvation, saving grace brings your name on the church roll. Not what your mom and daddy done, not what your grandparents done. It's only written in red in the blood of Christ. Now let's go back for just a moment. The book of Timothy. Look at a phrase in this 15th verse. I don't know, I keep chasing rabbits with this. Don't forgive me. I'll just behave myself in the house of the Lord, of God, which is the church of the living God. This our memory verse, so to speak, 1 Timothy 3:15. It says, the pillar and ground of truth. The pillar and the ground of truth. I want us to think on that for just a moment. Now, in John 14:6, He says, He's the way, He's the truth, and He's the life. No man come to the Father but by Him. Now, every structure in this world starts with the ground. Grows out of the ground, and then you see the pillars of that structure. And here we see a phrase that says that the church of the living God is the pillar and the ground of truth. The church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Well, who makes up the church? Who makes up the body of Christ that we call the church? It's you and I that know Him, right? His children. It says, we've talked about this. Christ being the chief cornerstone, and then we are fitted in to the structure according to His will. Every one of us have a calling. Every one of us have a position. Every one of us have something to do in service for the Lord. And I was looking at that ground. That's kind of an unusual word to be here, but everything starts. Every foundation begins on the ground. So something came to my mind, a parable that Christ spoke. A parable of the sower. I want you to go with me to Mark for just a moment. And let's look at a few things here together. Christ Christ says. We'll speak in parables. And it's unusual to me that he'd speak this parable as he has spoken here in reference to what it has reference to. And in Mark, the fourth chapter, he said, and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there were gathered to him a great multitude, so they entered the ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on land. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. He said to them in his what? In his doctrine, in his truth. What does he say to them? He says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Now, we got two things mentioned here, but we got three things involved. Number one is you've got a sower. Number two is he's going out to sow. But he's got to have something to sow, right? You can't sow nothing. If sower goes out to sow, he's got to have something to sow. So we know that if we look at the account of these parables on the sower, it tells us that he went out to sow what? He went out to sow seed, and those seed that he went out to sow, they are the Word of God. So now, where does that put you and I? We are the sowers. This is a world, for God so loved the world, the whole world, everybody. So each and every one of us have a responsibility to sow the Word of God. Now, is everyone going to accept what you have to say to them concerning Christ? Is it getting harder and harder in the world we live in today to witness for them? Sometimes you mention it and you could get cursed out, really, or have pretty harsh things said to you. Is that to be expected? Well, let's see if it is. Here we have an example. So let's look at these examples that we have written. And it says in the fourth verse, and it came to pass as he sowed. It came to pass as he did what? As he sowed. You can have all the seed in the world sitting under the shelter at home. But how much fruit are you going to get if they sit under the shelter in the container that they're in? They're absolutely not going to produce one dab of fruitfulness. What have you got to do to get those seed to bring forth fruit? You've got to sow them. So if we want the Word of God to bring forth fruit, we need to do what? We need to sow it. Now, here it says, then they went out to hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowl of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground, and there was not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, became, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell in the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no what? Fruit. See, there's a phrase, that's what we're looking for. Fruit. it yielded no fruit. Others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Did all of it bring forth the same amount of fruit? Or did it bring different amounts of fruit? It brought different amounts of fruit. All of us have a different calling. The Lord puts us in different positions. But the thing of it is, each and every one of us can serve Him in a way that we bear fruit. That's our responsibility. God chose us as His children, saved by His marvelous grace, to carry the gospel message on from generation to generation and from person to person. And we are falling way short on that particular job. Now, look down with me, if you will, at verse number 13. The disciples had some questions. He said unto them, "Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the what? The word." So there's no question what the seed that he's going to sow is. He's sowing the word of God. And these are they by the wayside, when the word is sown, but when they had heard, Satan came immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. They fell by where? They fell by the wayside. And immediately, Satan comes in. It starts his mess. You okay? You don't need that. That's a bunch of junk. Do you believe that there's a real God that can do what he says he can do? Question, 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 question. And say, well, you okay? You're getting along fine. You don't need none of this religious mess. And what they do? They do not respond to the Word of God. Satan won the fight, so to speak. And it says, and these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves, and so endureth but for a time. And after, when affliction and persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately, they are what? They're offended. They're offended. They have no root within themselves. This is a heartfelt thing. This is not a mind thing. It's received within the heart. Therein is the strength that we come to know Christ. Verse number 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, but as such as hear the word, receive the word. Now watch this. And how many Christians, they receive the word, they've been saved, but the cares of the world get in the way. And what does it do? What does it do to our testimony? What does it do to our service? What does it do to our work for the Lord? Well, what does it say? I want you to notice something in this particular verse now and what puts them in this position. In verse number 19, it says, the cares of this world and the deceitful of riches and the lust of other things do what? Enter in. And when it enters in, what does it choke? It chokes the word. It chokes our service. It chokes our ability to serve Him. Well, then what does that produce? What does it say in the latter part of this verse? And it becometh what? Unfruitful. Doing no service for Him. How should we all behave ourselves in the church of God? We need to be on guard with Satan and the things of the world. Because Satan knows where my weak link's at. He knows where your weak link is at. And he'll do his best to break the chain of service and stop us from serving the Lord who loved us and saved us by his marvelous grace. And he said they become unfruitful because they get caught back up in the things of the world. Why is it important for us to come to church and fellowship together? Why is it important for us to stay under the teachings of the Word of God? We better stay under the teaching of the Word of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. If we don't, what's going to happen? We're going to get choked by the things of the world, and we're going to become unfruitful. Then verse number 20 says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and then what happens? And how much fruit do they bring forth? It says they bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. I might not bring as much fruit forward as you do. You might not bring as much forward as the person sitting beside of you does. But if we'll listen to the calling of our Lord Jesus Christ, we'll bring what fruit forward He has called us to bring forward. And that's the reason we need to be careful how we ought to behave ourselves in the church of the living God. God bless you and thank you for being with us today.